through some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
Americans worship in government over God.
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
Hi, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. And today we're going to teach each other how to look well to the ways of our household. We're going to talk about a sticky subject. It's a tough subject. It's one the Lord knew we would struggle with. That's why there are so many passages in His Word about the subject of money. Now, as moms and dads, how do we teach our children to be thinking responsibly about money? When is too young? When is too old? And how about breaking up some of the old ideas that a lot of us have held on to for years by replacing them with better ideas? In fact, how about helping them learn the money smart family system? Don't know what that is? Oh, I venture to say you will by the end of the hour. Let me do this, friends. Let me start by giving you our phone number and welcome you to join us with your questions about family finances during the course of the hour. 1-877-548-3675. 1-877-548-3675. Our conversation today emanates from the new book by Steve and Annette Economides. It is called The Money Smart Family System, and it really is about teaching financial independence to kids of every single age. Steve and Annette proudly wear the title of America's Cheapest Family, and they earn that title, by the way. They've learned how to live on less than just about any family I have ever visited with. And they really have taken so much of the information they know, poured it into books, and become best-selling authors and much sought-after speakers all over the country on the subject of finances. But I also appreciate particularly that theirs is not just conversation in a secular vein. They understand that God gave us these blessings and then teaches us how to be a good steward with the blessings that were His all along. 1-877-548-3675. Stephen and Annette, thank you so much for being with us. You're the parents of five. I'm the parents of four. If I had known ahead of time how much it was going to cost to raise a child, I wonder how many parents would stop, take a deep breath, and say, maybe we better give this a second thought. Truth be told, no, they probably wouldn't. But let's just talk numbers, particularly when you look outside. The headlines today are not really good when it comes to America's financial health. So it's probably more expensive now to raise a child than it was for our moms and dads. But on average, what's it cost to raise a child?
Well, depending, Janet, it's great to be here. First off, we just
Thank you, Steve.
And love the message that you're proclaiming. Boy, what does it cost? It's kind of hard to nail down, but if we go to what our government comes up with financially, they say it's about $230,000 to $261,000 to raise a child from 0 to 17, so it does not include college.
All right, so I'm going to ask, these are kind of basic, rudimentary questions, Steve, but I think it's important just as we begin to grapple with how much money comes in and how much money goes out. If you look at a staggering figure given to us by the federal government of over $200,000 from birth to about 17, where's that money go? I mean, you think, okay, they're sitting at the dinner table, they have to have school clothes, but that's a whole lot of money extrapolated out over 17 years.
It is, and I spent a lot of time digging into the USDA figures, and what they calculate is a certain amount of square feet in a house, certain amount of cubic inches in a car, certain amount of dollars per month for food, clothes, and I think they probably all buy their clothes retail at, you know, some of the more expensive stores. They calculate everything, health care, recreational activities, those kind of things are all built into the calculation. But I've got to believe that these guys are probably living in some well, they're in Washington, D.C., most likely, and one of the most expensive cities in the, you know.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
So I don't think they really have their finger on the pulse of what it truly costs a middle-class American to raise a family. But the truth is, we don't have to spend even a quarter that much, and we can still – and actually, the less we spend – probably the better our children will turn out, because as we know, when government throws money at a problem, it usually doesn't solve it.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, that's an old adage here in Washington, D.C. So, Annette, based on what Steve just said, I know you're going to be happy to tell our audience that in the economy of this house, five children, five blessings, you raise your kids on about 77% less than that staggering figure that Steve gave us, right?
Correct. I would say that probably our kids cost us somewhere between $57,000 and $60,000 from birth to 17. But, you know, with our Money Smart system, it could even be less than that. And truly, you know, we talked about this. If we did not have that many children, we probably wouldn't have had the size house we have or the size vehicle we have. So if people have smaller families, they can spend even less money. And we have not scrimped. I mean, we don't live like paupers in any way. We have everything everybody else has. We just do it differently, that's all.
Yeah, you sure do. In fact, going through the book, I laughed out loud because I thought, boy, there's some people whose toes are going to be stepped on lovingly and gently this hour, because there's a whole lot of things a lot of us have done for oh so many years that you say really don't fit into the Money Smart family system. So if I can, before we get into the different nuances, just give me an overarching perspective. The Money Smart family system really is a concept meaning what?
Basically, you're teaching your kids financial independence by using the money that you already spend on them, but putting it into a training system. So they're rewarded for work done, chores completed, attitudes that are excellent. It's a point system that they earn points each day, and it adds up at the end of the week, and it teaches them how to manage money in small amounts so that they'll be prepared when those larger amounts come their way.
Basically, Janet, what we're saying is let's take the kids off of the ledger on the expense side and let's put it on the investment side so that when we do spend money on them, let's expect a return on the money we're spending. We're not just giving it to them, we're expecting something, and whether that's a good attitude, whether that's a character development, whether it is just coming up and doing something better than they did before, we're wanting to get a return. We're investing in them, we want to see something better come out.
Yeah, wow, excellent. Quick question, Steve. I know that you are America's cheapest family, but did you have this system squarely in place raising your five blessings, or did this evolve?
It started when our oldest was about 9 years old, because we were just seeking the Lord for what we should do to transfer the principles, when he came to us and asked us, when are you going to teach me about handling money, Dad?
Wow, very cool. All right, when we come back, the 550-500 rule, what is it? I'm going to let you think about it, friends, while we go to break. See if you can guess what that means and how it factors into the Money Smart family system. And wait till you hear some of the things the economy, they say we shouldn't be doing when it comes to money and our kids. We got a lot to talk about. Glad you're with us. 1-877-548-3675. I hope you're enjoying this edition of In the Market. I want to quickly remind you that this and other programs just like it can be found at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. You'll also be able to find links to guests, book information, our Facebook and Twitter pages, and so much more. Again, that's inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Thanks again for listening. And now, back to the program. Do you know they sing this every night around the dinner table at the Economy Days house? I'm just kidding, but I wouldn't be surprised. Stephen and Ed Economy Days are with us. They are America's cheapest family. Wonderful, wonderful authors. We got such a great response on their book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. Just very practical stuff. Their website is tremendous. We've hot-linked it, of course, right under their bio on our website at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. But today they join us because they want to teach you about the Money Smart Family System, and that's based on a brand-new book by the same title. All right, the 550-500 rule. Annette, what is that?
Basically, what it's saying is when your kids are between the ages of 0 and 5, if you give in to their impulses and their requests and their tantrums and their whinings, you're likely to spend $5. But that rule is going to escalate, and when they're between 6 and 11, it can go up to $50. And then when they're 12 through 17, it's $500 for the iPhones and the laptops and all the other technical stuff that they want. And then When it's 18, it's $5,000. 18 to 23, it's $5,000 for college and cars. And then if you don't stop that and you don't teach them financial independence, then when they're 24 and above, you're talking about $50,000 for bankruptcy and car repossession and divorce and all that other stuff that can happen with older kids that need help. Drug rehab, it just goes on and on and on. So stop it when it's younger. No matter, what we say is, you know, yes, it's great to start them when they're little, but even if they're not little, even if you've got kids that are teens right now, it's never too late. So just start somewhere, but do something.
I'm so glad you just said that, because I don't want our friends listening to get discouraged, because they might be saying, well, my child is in middle school, so I've blown it. It's too late for me to get involved in this. And that, based on what you just said, it's never too late to start teaching your kids how to be smart financially, right?
That's correct. I mean, it's going to be a little bit tougher if you've been indulging them greatly. If you haven't, then you're not going to have that hard of a time just introducing the system and slowly weaning them to start earning and spending their own money. You know, children can be such an incredible blessing to us, Janet, but we have to realize that there is a financial intelligence that is completely lacking in our society, and they're not going to learn it in school, in high school.
Yeah.
They're not even going to learn it in college. So if we don't start teaching it to them, where are they going to learn that? From the TV shows they watch or the movies they go to?
No, because they're busy trying to sell our kids things, telling them that they're not going to be happy unless they have more. You know, I'm so glad you're saying what you're saying. And are you not, in fact, really giving us the working definition of what it means to have financially codependent kids? And before you answer on that, and Steve, here's where it's difficult, because, you know, we love our kids. You know, we'd stand in front of a running train for our kids. And so we think if they need something, we want to provide it. And for a whole lot of kind, loving, compassionate parents that are listening to us, they might not recognize that they are, in fact, in that financially codependent relationship. Instead, they just think they're loving on their kid, providing what they think is best for their child. How do you learn to draw the distinction?
Wow, that is a great question, and you're right. That is happening right now.
Janet, you know, I come out of an athletic background. I was a gymnast, and we all just watched the Olympics. And we look at those kids that were out there, and they were some phenomenal gymnasts, and I competed at that level. And I know what it takes to get strong, and I know what it takes to become excellent. And it never happens because my parents did the working out for me. You don't build muscle. We can't go to the gym and get our kids stronger. So when it comes to finances, the same thing applies. If we want our kids to become financially intelligent, money smart, strong, they're going to have to do some of the lifting. And we don't start expecting them to lift 100-pound dumbbells. We start by giving them small tasks. And that's why in the book we covered every age. You know, we covered from 3 years old, starting out with chores and letting them learn what the coins were. But we talk about, at 11 years old, having them learn to start buying their own clothes. That's light lifting. But for them, that's a big deal. And that builds that strength and resilience.
And at 16, we talk about how they should be having part-time jobs, that no kid should just have getting good grades as their only job in life. As adults, we don't get to do that. So if we're encouraging our kids to mature and be wise and money smart, we've got to start somewhere. So, you know, even though your kids may have to start out giving an employer 20 hours a week, once they're in school, they can knock those hours down to 10 or 15 hours a week and still do very well in school and work a part-time job.
And Janet,
exactly.
We just wanted to be sure that we weren't off base on that. Because our kids did that, and they did fine. They graduated with honors and excellent GPAs. But we looked at some research studies, and we cite them in the book, and study after study says that if kids work between about 5 and 15 hours a week, their grades actually stay up better than kids that don't have a job.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's teaching them real-life responsibility. They feel like adults. They feel like they've got some control. They've got purpose. They're accomplishing goals. It's all good.
One question, and you have so many practicals that I want to get into, because they really kind of destroy a whole lot of stereotypes and I think kind of historical practices that a lot of people put in place. But let me go to this overarching question of, if you give them a task and they get paid for it, how do we don't have the how do we make sure the pendulum doesn't swing too far the other way by having a child then get an attitude that says, if you're not paying me, I'm not doing it. So how do we counterbalance that?
That's a great question. We get that all the time. And I think really what it is with our system that we use in our home where they earn 4 points a day and at the end of the week, if they do a little extra, they'll get double pay. Basically, we've learned to operate as a team at our house and a family. And so they know that there will be certain chores that they have to do, but then there's going to be times when they have to do a little bit extra, like when big trash is coming and we have to do a little extra cleaning up of the yard, or when we're having a special event or a celebration at our house. There's going to be extra things that they need to do to help with that. And there's not usually complaining. They realize that's part of life.
Good. Excellent. Now, when we come back, Annette, you said something interesting, and that is you said 4 points. So that gives us a little sneak peek of how this system works. I want to talk about the point system when we get back. Lots of questions already online. And then I want to start looking at some of the things, again, that we probably have all done, but you're saying don't build into creating financially wise kids, and they certainly don't work within the Money Smart family system. Steve and Annette Cottomides are with us. They are America's cheapest family and proud of it. 1-877-548-3675. A whole lot more right after this. We'll get back to the program in just a moment. But first, did you know that there are multiple ways to give to Moody Radio? If you visit us online at moodyradio.org and click on the Giving tab, you'll see that there's a variety of options to choose from. Or if you'd like to reach us by phone, you can call 1-800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. That's 1-800-356-6639. And thanks again for your support.
Price check. Bank account.
Money, money, round and round.
Money box, drum kit fund.
Round, round, round goes money.
Shopping mall, check out.
Money, money, round and round.
Concert tickets, new CD.
Round, round, round goes money.
Now that you know what money can do. Go ahead and act on it, 'cause you've thought it through.
Yeah, but you need somebody to teach you how to think it through, don't you? That's where Mom and Dad come in, and that's why the Economides are with us today. They're teaching us how to have our kids be smart when it comes to money. So they've created something called the Money Smart Family System. And I've got a lot of great questions online. But Annette, you talked about 4 points a day, which is a little sneak peek that there's a point system involved. So in other words, let's say that John, your firstborn, does a job, and he doesn't get paid on the spot, it sounds like. He procures points, right? Accrues points and then gets them paid at the end of the week, perhaps?
That's correct. Basically, the way it works is there's 4 points a day, and these can be modified depending on what's important in your home. We've had people change and modify the system. But for us, we had a morning point, which meant get up, make your bed, take care of your personal hygiene, get dressed, and come to the table and eat breakfast with no complaining. The second point was the school point, which meant do all your schoolwork completely excellently with, once again, no complaining, a good attitude. Third point was chores, and whatever was laid out for that day. Actually, we had a pretty nifty chore chart. That's part of our Money Smart system, kid system. And basically, I like the idea of shared control, where you have a chart, you have age-appropriate chores, a list under each kid's name, and you say, okay, go pick 3 chores off the list today. And so they feel like they have some control and some freedom, and they can come to you and say, well, I want to do waste baskets, I want to take out the newspapers to the recycling, and I want to do the dishwasher job. And you can say, well, those are all great, except you did waste baskets yesterday. So we need to pick one other one besides waste baskets. And then the final one is Roundup, because we live in the West, the Southwest. We picked a little westerny name because we have cities out here like Two Guns and Tombstone and all that jazz. And so we figured if every person in our family left out 3 items each day with 7 of us, that was 21 items a day being left around the house. And by the end of the week, that added up to quite a few things. So with those 4 points...
So every night we'd get together and we'd round up all the stuff and put it away so that we'd start the slate clean in the morning with a clean house.
And at the end of the week, Then we picked Sunday for our day. You know, it doesn't matter. Families can pick a different day. Then we did payday, and that's where they totaled up their points for the week. They could get four each day, and
if they got four each day, Monday through Friday, that would be 20 points, three on Saturday because there was no school. If they did two extra things that we didn't ask them to do, but they offered, they saw things that needed to be done, and they got 25 points, we'd give them a bonus. So we're paying for initiative, too. So we doubled their pay. So at about about 6 or 7 years old, they could earn $2.50 a week, double pay. And then at about 11 or 12, it goes to about $5 a week. And by the time they're 13, 14, it's $10 a week. And that's what we set up because we could afford that. But it worked with our kids. And the initiative they had and the enthusiasm they had to get double pay was phenomenal. And then we had them divide the money up, 10% to give, 20% to save, and the rest to spend until they turned age 11. And at age 11...
then they start buying their own clothes. And granted, when they have limited finances, those $150 sneakers, they have to really think twice about whether they want those because their buying power is not that great. And so obviously we introduce them to thrift stores and consignment stores. And, you know, if they really wanted something like that, we'd say, okay, our budget for sneakers for you is $30 or $40. If you want the $150 sneakers, you have to earn the money for the rest of that. And our kids really thought carefully about those big dollar purchases. And when they did make them, which they did, they really appreciated them and took care of whatever they bought.
You answered my question also, which is it's age appropriate. So your 2-year-old doesn't have the same pay scale as the 10-year-old, right? And that changes as time goes by.
That would be correct. And we know this system works, Janet, because all of our kids have had part-time jobs, and all of them have been trained for management. Our 18-year-old daughter has only been working at her job for about a year and a half. And about a year. And they want to train her for management already. So our kids have learned how to work.
The principle of being faithful in little things. Scripture says if you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. We started when they were small, and they have blossomed and grown and done it. And their employers see it in them, and they know that the kids are trustworthy, and they know that they're hard workers and they're competent, and they get the promotions.
So that is why neither of you support the idea of an allowance system, right? Because an allowance is just sort of you get it every week. In your system, you really have to earn it.
That's right. Correct.
Janet, let's just do a comparison back to the government. 14% of the population in the U.S. is on welfare right now. And that is about the same percentage that was on welfare in the 70s. It hasn't changed because paying someone for doing essentially nothing produces nothing. And we have you know, 50 years worth of records to prove that. And we want to break that. The entitlement system doesn't work, and we don't want to raise entitled kids. We need to raise kids who know how to work and know how to give back. And they know the rewards of hard work. And there's nothing better to see than our kids standing on their own saying, Mom and Dad, I don't want you to pay for college. I'm going to do it myself because you trained me how to earn and work.
And not to have to grab for the smelling salts when they make that statement, because we can train them the right way if we're using the Money Smart Family System. Stephen and Ed Economides are with us. All right, when we come back, there's so much in the book, but I want to take your questions and have the Economides answer them. 1-877-548-3675. Don't forget, it's on our website, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Book on the right hand, website under their names. We'll be back.
I balanced my budget.
Hi, friend. This is Janet Partial again. And remember, you can share your comments with us about this or other topics on our Facebook page. We've linked it to our website, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org, and you'll see the Facebook icon on the right-hand side. Or if you'd like, you can call and leave a message by dialing 1-877-JANET-58. That's 1-877-526-3858. 58. That's 1-877-526-3858. And we hope to hear from you.
Don't take a chance on your finance. Talk to the experts.
And that's what we're doing this hour. We're talking to the experts, Steve and Annette's Economy. They say they are America's cheapest family. They earn that title and they're proud of it. And they're New York Times best-selling authors, and they've got some marvelous, practical books to help us look well to the ways of our household. And their latest now is called The Money Smart Family System, and it really is about teaching financial independence to our kids, regardless of how old they are. And they really kind of break the mold on things, honestly, that most of us have been doing for a long period of time, and I think you've gotten that hint so far. I made a promise. I said I'd come to the phones when we cut back, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, 1-877-548-3675, and if I may, let me start with Matt, who joins us from Indiana. Matt, thanks for being a part of this, and your question, please.
Hello, Janet.
Hi, Matt.
My question is, I understand that your system allows children to have to spend their own money in whatever way they want to, and you sort of already answered this through limiting their buying power, but my question is, how do you teach them to not spend all of their money, or whenever they receive their own money, and not to blow it on frivolous things, how do you limit to control things that you disapprove of, preventing them from buying, immodest clothing or other things that you disapprove of?
Good questions, Matt. And, you know, what we try to do is we set a standard, and we talk about this in the clothing chapter of the book, that we've set standards for our kids on what kind of clothing they can buy and can't buy. And they, you know, when they're younger, you pretty much have all the control, and we work at releasing that control as they grow older and prove that they're faithful with it. So there are times when our boys, we'd be in a thrift store and they'd pick up a shirt that had a rather, what do you want to call it, a saying on it that we wouldn't want them to go to church in or go out in public in, but it was funny. It was really funny. And so we wouldn't condemn them. We'd laugh and say, that is really a great shirt, and we're so glad that you're going to leave that in the store. You know, so, but those kind of things. And then with our girls, Annette will address that, but we set the standard for how we dress and we
modesty,
kind of follow.
Modesty is, we have two daughters. Let's say one gives the challenge all the time on that modesty thing because she wants to fit in. And if you fit into our society, I don't know, you probably all have noticed, we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah these days. And so, you know, the modesty issues, we just say we have final veto power. And so we try not to activate that unless it's absolutely necessary, but we'll say, come on, you know, I understand you want to fit in, but there has to come a time where you just say, I'm going to fit in, but I'm not going to go all the way.
And one other thing, Matt, is because their spending power is not that great, there are times when they're going to want to buy things that we don't really agree with. Like we cite a story in the book where our son wanted to buy a roller coaster, a Kinex roller coaster, and it was really, we knew he wouldn't be satisfied with it. But it was a $60 decision. He'd saved the money. He thought about it for a long time. It wasn't impulsive, and we let him buy it. And what he learned from that lesson was the value of depreciation when he went to try and sell it because it didn't fulfill what he expected it to fulfill. And I would rather have him lose $60 and learn that lesson than having me be the bad guy telling him, no, 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 you can't buy it. Now having him resent that for the rest of his life.
Boy, what a great answer. And I'll tell you what, Matt, I want to give you a copy of the book we're discussing. It's called The Money Smart Family System, and I thank you for being our first caller. 1-877-548-3675. Continuing in the clothes theme, Debbie, let me welcome you from Florida. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there. I just want some clarification on what I thought I heard. I thought I heard them say that at age 11, their children start buying their own clothing, are responsible. Am I correct that you don't buy their clothing after that, or is it just specialty items that they might want over and above what you buy them for school?
Correct, Debbie. You got that right, but we are not harsh, and I know you're afraid that we're leaning towards harshness, but because they're earning money every week and they've got their envelope system where they're putting their money into their envelopes, at 11 years old, they are starting to buy their own clothes. I mean, obviously, for heaven's sakes, if they run out of underwear or sneakers and they desperately need them, we're not going to say, tough luck, no underwear. but But, you know, as a general rule, they're learning to love thrift stores and consignment stores because they can find all kinds of deals and have they have beautiful wardrobes. They get complimented all the time by their friends.
And, Debbie, here's one thing that we learned is that if we bought their clothes at our earning level, our income level, and we could afford to shop at the mall and we could afford to buy them brand new clothes, name brand clothes, but they aren't at that level, we're enabling them to live at our income level. And what if they never achieve that? We have handcuffed them to having to live at that level, and that's not fair to them. So allowing them to spend money that's at their income level, which would be thrift store clothes, but they can find brand names clothes there, is a great tool. And again, we're there as a safety net. We're there to give them a hand up, not a hand out. And they have performed well.
I mean, garage sales and rummage sales provide clothes, too. So there's lots of different ways to get them.
Yeah. Debbie, thank you. We're going to give you a copy of the Money Smart Family System, and I thank you for being with us. This is In the Market with Janet Parshall, and we're visiting with Steve and Annette Economides, who are America's cheapest family. They've earned that title, and they're passing all that they've learned on to us, and we are all most appreciative. Let me go to Vivi, who's in Illinois. Thanks for joining us. And your question, please.
Hi, my name is Vivi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Basically, I have my first child and my only one. He's 3 years old, and we already start teaching him to, like, when his grandparents give him money, he puts it in his piggy bank, and he already knows that he has to put it there. But how do I teach him, you know, beyond that? Like, what am I supposed to do to start teaching him that, you know, that's for saving?
Good question. You know, and here's what we did. Larry Burkett was a man we just love and respect, and he really mentored us in managing our finances. And he created a bank called the My Giving Bank. It has three parts. It's a big plastic bank. It has give, save, and spend in it, or store, bank, and church. And that's where we started. And that bank isn't produced anymore, but there's another one called the ABC Bank or ABC Giving Bank, and then there's the Savvy Pig Bank, and both of them have three parts containers in them, and those are great for younger kids between the ages of 3 and about 6 or 7 until they can write and do math. And then once they can write and do math, we put them on our envelope system, or you could just use regular envelopes, and have them start dividing their money up that way. But one thing, Vivi, that we did the same thing you did, and that was we started off by taking whatever money that came in, and they would put it in their bank or divide it up, but it was inconsistent. And what we found was being inconsistent with giving them income meant that we were inconsistent in training them to manage it. So that's why we came up with a payday every Sunday, so we could regularly put money in their hands and regularly give them opportunities to manage it. And that's where they shine.
And, Vivi, they can't save all their money. They have to be able to put some in the kettle at Christmas for Salvation Army or the church offering plate. They need to be able to give some of it. They also need to be able to spend some of it. And maybe it's one toy at the dollar store or a pack of gum at the grocery store. But they need to be able to spend some of it and not save all of it.
You know, I was just thinking about that last part, Vivi, if I can just ask on the tail of your question, that spending part is important because once they leave the nest, they do have to spend. I mean, I love to save, and we want to teach our kids to save, but there is an art to learning how to spend as well, is there not?
Correct.
That's right. I mean, how many parents, and don't raise your hands, but you sent a child off to college with a credit card. This is the $5,000 stage, by the way, and they haven't been trained. And we had a friend of ours come back from college, and he said, you know, his parents taught him how to manage money. And he said, it was unbelievable what I saw in the dorms, because there were kids whose parents gave them credit cards, and they would buy pizza for everybody on the floor because the parents hadn't taught them to spend wisely. Mm. It was an entitlement mentality. And it's going to happen. You're going to have to bail out those $5,000 credit card bills. And, of course, the credit card companies are going to send credit cards to kids who have no jobs, no income, and no experience because they know the parents are going to pay for it. And that,
if I could get it. Oh, I got to get on my soapbox on this one, Steve. This is amazing because, you know, people are struggling out there, and if their credit goes bad, it's very hard for them to procure a credit card. And yet you give a college student who has no visible means of support a credit card with a $5,000 cap with no visible means of support. He's a college student. So explain to me how that works.
Well, the credit card companies are very smart. They know the default rate on student credit cards is very low because the parents will pay it.
Mm-hmm.
They also know that the first credit card a person normally gets is the one they keep. 75% keep their very first credit card for their whole life. So that's
very
why it's a target market, but it's very dangerous, and parents don't realize how dangerous it is.
But in the college chapter in this book, we talk about a way to train your kids before they leave home to be prepared to stand independently at college. And we've got 5 or 6 options for how they can manage money. And some of it is you putting it into an account. Some of it is prepaid debit cards. But we describe the systems that we've used with our kids, and it works.
Wow. I'm coming up to a break, so I'm going to ask a question, friends, because I'm afraid if you'd ask, we'd run out of time before we go to the break. So here's a quick one for you, Stephen and Annette. You say that the idea of having a pet to teach your child responsibility is a pitfall. How come?
Oh my gosh, because pets are not, first of all, they're not just food and water. They're vet bills, they're licensing, they're, you know, immunizations, there's supplies, there's all kinds of things for a pet. And the truth is, if you don't really know how to be responsible, a pet isn't going to make you responsible. And why should the pet have to pay for that?
Yeah. Okay. Excellent answer. Thank you for that. 1-877-548-3675. Stephen and Annette Economides are with us, and we're talking about their latest book, The Money Smart Family System. Wow. Every line is lit. Lots of great questions, and the Economides have great answers. Can I again get you to go to our website, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org? On the right-hand side, there's the book, and underneath their short bio, there's their website, chock full of all kinds of good advice for us. We'll be back. I sincerely hope that this program has helped you in some way today, and if it has, please tell a friend and encourage them to listen to it as well. This and other programs that have aired in the past year are freely available to listen to online at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Programs older than that are also available for purchase at moodyaudio.com. And thanks again for listening. Yeah, well, that's part of teaching our kids about money. But Stephen and Annette Economides, they say they'd like to teach you about the Money Smart Family System and how we can teach our kids to be financially independent. 1-877-548-3675. Alan, let me welcome you from Ohio, if I may, please, and we'll take your question.
Hi, Janet. My question was, if you have kids and they're working, and they're very studious, how do you limit them to not work too much and their grades start suffering?
Well, I would just say if they're in school and their grades are not suffering, let them work as much as they want.
We put a limit of about 20 hours a week on our kids when they were in school, and they were able to keep their grades up. And that's what most of the surveys we researched showed. Anything beyond 20, they said that there was a definite correlation and drop in grade point average. And I just think it's smart. It really depends on the individual child and how they perform, but it's measurable. You know, say we're going to try this for 6 weeks, and if your grades stay up, great. If not, and you keep working around the house and doing your responsibilities there. Because it's not just work and school. Family responsibilities are critical, too.
Mm. Alan, thank you. Let me give you a copy of the Money Smart Family System, and I thank you for being with us. 1-877-548-3675. Cindy, I welcome you. Your question, please.
Hello.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm an older mom, and my son is 8, and I've recently gotten myself out of debt and just pay cash with everything. How do you say no?
Well, I would say if you're having some kind of training system in place where they're earning money on a regular basis. Basically, you just say, let's check how much spend money you have. And if they have, their wanter is bigger than their spend money, you just say, look, you're going to have to save a couple more weeks to get that, or are you sure you really want it? Maybe something else would be just as awesome to have.
money is such an objective tool. It's so measurable and it's so non-emotional. It takes the parent out of the middle of being the bad guy when the money in the envelope tells them what they can and can't spend. And it also encourages the kids, when they really want something and the money isn't there, to look for creative options like buying it used, making it themselves, trading with somebody. It enhances their maturity and their ability to find what they really need.
Mm, great answer. Thank you for that. Cindy, I'd love to give you a copy of the Money Smart Family System, and I thank you so for being with us. 1-877-548-3675. And let me go to Katie. Katie, thank you for joining us. Your question, please.
I was brought up in a house that didn't teach me how to manage money. And because of that, my husband and I are struggling to get out of it, and we find ourselves falling back into the same pitfall. But, you know, we have talked about it and would love to raise children responsibly in the way we weren't, but I don't really know where to start and how to fix us.
Wow. Okay. Well, you're not alone. Let me just give you some comfort. You know, I think most of America, all of us are in the same boat. Steve and I didn't really grow up in homes really where parents taught us much about money management, and we got a little bit of education in our marriage prep class. Our first book that we wrote, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money, is a step-by-step guide for budgeting and learning how to earn and spend and prioritize your money. So I highly recommend that book. You can get it at any bookstore or online or through our website at americascheapestfamily.com.
Excellent. Katie, let me give you a copy of the book as well, and I thank you for being with us, trying to get as many of your calls in as I can. And let me go to Wade. Wade, your question, please, for the Economy of Ace.
Yeah, I was calling to find out about your opinion on the fact that kids maybe need to do some chores without being paid for them, just like, you know, I got to mow the grass, and I've got to clean the gutters and do all the things that you normally do without being reimbursed myself. Is there a way to teach the kids that?
Well, like we said earlier on an earlier phone call, there's always going to be things around the house that they need to pitch in and help with just because they're part of the family. But we feel like training kids with the money we normally spend on them to make an investment in their lives and to teach them financial independence is so important that when we do that on a weekly basis, we're teaching them all the things they need to learn about spending, saving, waiting.
Wade, our kids have never come to us and said, you know, I don't feel like doing that chore because you're not paying me for it. We've instilled an attitude, a work ethic in our household. And one thing we did learn was that the greatest form of play for a child is working with his parent. So when we send them out to do a chore and we go out there with them, it creates accountability and fun and bonding.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, and we found that was a way to build their enthusiasm about doing the chore, and we didn't really talk too much about the pay. They knew it was going to come. They were really secure that our system was going to reward them, and we got the family together and did lots of big chores together.
And really, in real life, if you work and work and work and never get a reward for it, man, it's hard to keep your attitude right. I mean, we all have to work and earn money for a living, so we just, why not do that with our kids now and teach them that?
Mm, appreciate that, Wade. Thank you very, very much. All right, let me see if I can get Kelly's call in here because there are so many people who want to talk to the Economy of Ace. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you. I was just curious about how you teach them to save as far as when are they allowed to dip into that savings. Is it a decision that you make as a family or do they have to wait till they're adults? You know, how do they decide that?
Great question, Kelly. What we did and we describe in the book is we created a thing called a wish list. And they would save 20% of their income regularly, and that was set aside for college or for a car, you know, for long-term goals. And then their spend money, they could subdivide that and make a special envelope if they were saving to go to Disneyland or if they were saving for a doll. And we describe a situation when Abby was 9 years old. She wanted to buy an American Girl doll for $60, and it took her months to save for it. And it was an incredibly good lesson for her. So we set little goals and used a wish list.
Mm. Wow, I have to tell you, I'm sorry that we have to end the conversation there, Stephen Annette. So many people online. I feel like we've barely scratched the surface. Would you please come back again soon? And we'll pick it up exactly at this point because there is so much in the Money Smart Family System. So, friends, if I may, I'll take you right back into our website, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. The book's on the right-hand side, their website under their short bio. And thank you for joining us for In the Market with Janet Partial, for a production of Moody Radio in Chicago. See you next time.
Show me the money.
You can't afford to live casually, haphazardly, especially as a woman. Think of all the expectations, all the assumptions people have about what it means to be a woman. But then there's our culture, which puts beauty and desirability above the more enduring traits of self-possession and dignity. How should a Christian woman respond? There's hope and help in the new Moody Publishers title, Unseduced and Unshaken. It's a collection of refreshing insights, compiled and edited by Professor Rosalie DeRosé. Unseduced and Unshaken is much more than a call to modesty or chastity. It's a thoughtful challenge to speak well and read often, a call to make choices that reflect the character of God. Being intentional with your choices and cultivating your intellect will determine not only what kind of person you will be, but what kind of woman you are. Find Unseduced and Unshaken at your favorite local or online bookstore. From Moody Publishers, the name you can trust.
Thank you for listening to this edition of In the Market with Janet Partial. I again want to remind you that if you'd like to come alongside us and help with the financial costs associated with this program, you can support us by visiting moodyradio.org and clicking on Support Moody. Again, that's moodyradio.org. Thanks again, friend, and we hope to see you next time.